Good evening, everyone. I believe that we are set up now and we are live. This is my first time for using this. So I'm just a touch late, but I was trying to figure out exactly what was going on. And I think I've got it set up now to where you can see it. Yes, I see it. Okay. This is my first time back in a few months. And a couple of things I wanted to do. Of course, I wanted my body to heal to where I could talk some and it not bother me in my abdomen area. And then also, I was looking for a better setup, a better camera, and things like that, and it has worked out well. So now I'm all set up, and this is my first one back. And tonight, I'll start out by saying, different people told me, said, Brother Parnell, you need to say who you are, because a lot of people in the world don't know you when they see you on live broadcast or on a podcast. So I am Donald Parnell, brother, I'm from the United States, and I've been all over the world. This is my way of communicating with you now. I've been on 6 to 7 continents. I've not been able to travel due to health issues, but that'll change, I'm sure. And right now, this is the way we do it. So it's good to see everyone that's coming on. I hope that it works out to where everyone got the notice. And I wanted to start up with a little thought on when the eye twinkles. I'm going to go back a little bit on things that we've taught, because there are so many hundreds and actually thousands of people that are begging me to go back and kind of lay a lot of the groundwork that we laid over the last, since 2014, right around in there. And so I will do that, but at the same time, you know, it's like a spiral. And when you're going in a spiral, you're never really going to the same place twice, because as you're spiraling, and we've been taught that the Holy Spirit is in a spiral, and as it travels, you continue in the circle, but you learn more and more and more as you go along. So we'll bring out a lot more than we did. If you went back and listened to a lot of the different CDs and MP3s, and if you went back and listened to what's on our website, you're going to find me using several of those things, that I may use them in just a little different way. But tonight, I want to talk just for a little while on when the eye twinkles. And I'll start out, I've got a couple of scriptures here that I want to read. And John was writing in the book of Revelations. Now, we know that chapter 5 in the book of Revelations, we know that it was Sunset Mountain. Now, a lot of people, they fall apart when they hear me say that. But Jesus was crowned Son of Man. His ministry was proven to be real. Everything about him happened there on Sunset Mountain. And so it was the ending of the church ages. It was all the crowns of all the prophets and all the seers and all of the eyes and everything that there was, all their crowns came off. They bowed before him. That's what was going on. You know, we say to ourselves, well, that just looked like a streak of light to me. That's because it was a dimensional thing. Now, Brother Branham entered that pillar of fire, and he said there were angels there. And he said there was a group of people there that he went to meet in that cloud. And I believe he seen him in May of 1960 when he was telling the story about going across the curtain of time. I believe that we were all there. He said that in the seals book. But anyway, Revelations 5, Revelations 1 through 3 is the seven church ages. It is the ages from the time that Pentecost, they received the new commission on the day of Pentecost, over to Sunset Mountain. That time frame in there was a time frame wherein the seven church ages took place, the seven eyes and the seven spirits and the seven horns, and you could just go on and on and on. But we didn't know that it was going on at that time. We didn't know it. And there needed to be an eye to come and teach us these things. So I want to read this, and I'm going to read to you what was taking place on Sunset Mountain in 1963, in the month of March. This is what was taking place. This is what the pictures were of and everything else. It says, "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth." So these horns and eyes, the horn is the voice, the eye is the prophecy. These horns and eyes were seven seers, or seven manifestations of each age. And we see those, and they were right in the midst of a bloody lamb as it had been slain. Now, you say, well, that was Calvary, Brother Parnell. I've looked at a lot of pictures of Calvary, and I've never seen a bloody lamb with seven eyes and seven horns hanging there. What I seen was Jesus Christ hanging there, and this is a symbol form. This is symbolic, and it is the seven church ages, and the bloody lamb come out at the end of the seven church ages as it had been slain, 68 million, according to the Fox Book of Martyrs, and many more millions than that, we know that. And they came out at the end of the ages, and he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Read the first seal if you think it didn't happen. Brother Branham said, tonight he takes the book out of the hand of him that sits on the throne. He didn't say it would be next week. He didn't say it would be sometime in the future. He said, tonight. And that was March of 1963. So the Lamb took the book from the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, giving all the glory, declaring him to be the Son of Man, fell down before the Lamb, the golden vials and odors, which are the prayers of the saints, and they sung a new song. Another message started coming forth. That's what a new song is about. Thou art worthy to take the book. Now, we're talking about the Lamb of God, but we're talking about him in a different form. After the seven church ages are over, thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Did you notice where the blood was spilled? Out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. That wasn't a Calvary. That was one blood, the blood of God. But this blood come down through seven ages, come down through slaughterings left and right, come down through every kindred, tongue, and people, and nation. This was Jesus Christ in another form, the form of the church. And thou hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Now this is after the seals were open. We were made kings and priests, and we're to reign on the earth. So we see this happening. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit about the eye here in just a moment. But in the book of Zechariah is a prophet who was rebuilding the temple. after they had been released from Babylon, okay? Now, they were in Babylon. How many knows how long they were in Babylon? 70 years, 7 decades, 7 church ages. And they were there in Babylon, and Zechariah is one of the prophets that was coming out and seeing the prophecy of the temple being rebuilt, or seeing a new age and a new time coming. And it says in the 10th verse, "For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. With those 7, they are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth." So now what we've got is a whole manifestation. Isaiah said at one place, he said, "The day will come when they shall see eye to eye." Now, I'll get into that in just a moment. But what the problem is with people is they think there's only one eye. One prophet to an age, one prophet to this age, one prophet to that age. And they still think that you got to gather yourself around a prophet. Something that, I don't know if you know who he is or not, but something Glenn Beck said just the other day, I was watching him. And he said that his last 5 years of Billy Graham's life, Glenn Beck had become a personal consultant and had become a personal friend of his. And he was talking with Billy Graham, and he said he was getting into real bad health. And Glenn said to Billy Graham, he said, "There was such a great amount of heroes in your generation." And he said, "It looks like you're almost the last one left." And he said, "Brother Graham," he said, "when you're gone," he said, who's going to take your place? What's going to happen?" And he said, Billy Graham looked at him and he said, "Glenn," he said, "the Lord is tired of man taking his place." And he said, "when I'm gone, it'll never be the same. It's going to be the Lord moving in every person in the earth. And he's going to do everything that he wants to do." And when I was watching, I thought, now here sits a man, which Brother Branham said he received the Holy Ghost in his meetings. You can go read it in the 10 Virgins. And he said he received the Holy Ghost in his meeting. And here he is sitting at the end of the ages with Oral Roberts gone, or William Branham gone, W.V. Grant gone, all these great healers, all of them gone. And here's Billy Graham sitting there saying, things are going to change. And this is going to move in everybody. And the Lord's not going to have one man standing up here on a pedestal any longer. He said, it's over. A new age is coming. That's what Glenn Beck said that Billy Graham told him. Well, here we're singing this new song. And in Zechariah, it says that when the plummet that was in the hand of Zerubbabel, when it's finished, those 7 eyes move into the earth. And these are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth. So we see that an eye is something that the Lord moves on the scene for you to be able to see. Now, we know what the Old Testament called them. They called them prophets and seers. We know what the church ages called them. They called them prophets. And we know that we had 7 prophets down through the church ages. And there were many more than that, but I'm talking about the figureheads, the spearheads of the things that went on. So the eye of the body, think about it in the natural first. I'll put it like this. In the natural, you have your set of eyes. And the eye, when it says in the scripture, Corinthians 15, we'll read it. It says you'll be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. Now, notice that he didn't say in the twinkling of your eyes. He said in the twinkling of an eye. You should be changed in a moment. And an eye is a prophet, a seer, someone who's catching the revelation. So, and he says that it's at the last trump, or at the last trump of the church ages, there's going to come an eye, a prophet, that is going to change everything. And that's exactly what Billy Graham said, and that's exactly what Zechariah said. I want to read you a little bit about the eye. Just to help. This is the book that I came across some time back, and I've been studying it. And it's called Iridology Simplified. Iridology is the study of the eye. And it says, iridology is the science and practice that reveals inflammation. Inflammation comes from sickness. Your body gets a fever. You're not eating the right things. Your nutrition is way off. Something's wrong. You begin to have inflammation. You twist something. You break something. Inflammation comes. And this is iridology, is the science and the practice that reveals inflammation, where it's located, and in what stage it is manifesting. So your eye, a true iridologist, can look in your eye, and he can see the things that are wrong in your body if he has studied the eye just right and understands it. I remember going to an iridologist once, and I never told him anything. I just set up an appointment with him, and I went in and sat down with him, and I told him my name, and I told him where I lived, and told him where I grew up. And that was pretty much it. And he started talking, and he said he wanted me to look him straight in the eye. So I was sitting there looking him straight in the eye, and he said, oh my, he said, you've had a terrible accident. And he said, it's in your left leg, somewhere down below the knee, the ankle, somewhere in there. And I said, how do you know that? I said, I had someone where I used to work ran over my foot with a fork truck and crushed it, and I had to have an operation, and I had to have new ligaments and tendons put in and all kinds of things done for it because it messed it up so bad. And he said, I can see it in your eye. He said, it's a little black spot. And he said, it's right in the area of the ankle. He told me exactly what was wrong with me looking at my eyes. And then my experience with Washi, when I was unconscious and in the hospital and in the ICU, Washi was pulling things. I told you this ahead of time, and now that I'm studying this, I'm really seeing things. Washi was pulling things out from my eye, behind my eyelid, and he was reading them to me and telling me all kinds of different things. So I started studying this iridology, and I thought, you know, when 2014 came around and I pulled back from everybody declaring me to be a prophet and declaring me to have these great signs and wonders and everything else, and they was kind of trying to lift me up to a pedestal, and I began to pull back from that. And I even said, I don't want to be a prophet. I don't want to be those things. And I kept trying to push myself away from it. Well, as that went on, I began to see that was the move of the Spirit. The Spirit wanted a prophet in the land, but he didn't want a prophet in the land like the seven church ages. He didn't want a prophet in the land like this one man who everybody turns to try to figure out what's what. And I pulled away from it. And then I began to see many of the men around the world, some of them in Africa, said, well, you know, I'm the prophet of Africa. And another one said, I'm the prophet of the Philippines. And another one said, I'm the prophet of this. And I was watching them, and I was thinking, Lord, what's going on here? What is happening? Why is it moving like this? Because you're dealing with me to move out of that. And here they are trying to get into it. And the Spirit really dealt with me strongly and said, keep going the direction you're in. They will go the way they're going to go. But you go in this direction. This is the move of the Spirit. So I continued on. So I want to read this just a little bit. The iris reveals body constitution, inherent weaknesses, levels of health, and the transitions that take place in a person's body according to the way that they live. They see all this in your eye. It shows up in your eye. Your eye has certain sections that are for the arms and certain section for the legs and certain section for the organs and certain section for all these different things. It's laying right in your eye. Whether you know it or not, your eye is the only organ in the body that is directly connected to the brain. Because the eye is feeding, and it's feeding the brain with 22, mind of Christ, 22 collective nerves. It's feeding it into the brain. And the brain is picking all this 22 collectors, these nerves, which are collecting thousands of things per second. That's how you're sitting today. And you might be sitting in a room that's got blue carpet and green curtains and white blinds, and you may have a green dress on, and you're picking all that up. You're just picking it up, just walking around this black desk and this white page and and the Kleenexes and the chairs and everything else. Your eye is collecting all of this, feeding it into the mind, and the mind is forming a life around you, an illusion, if you want to call it that, around you. The eye is forming it the whole time, and the eye is pulling it in. The brain forms it and feeds it back to the eye. And a lot of people, they used to say, well, the eye is the window of the soul. I heard that so many times growing up. The eye is the window of the soul. Let me put it just a little bit different. The eye is the mirror of the soul. Because what you take in, the eye immediately reflects it back out, and it's like a mirror. You're looking through a glass darkly when you're moving through the eye. You're looking through a glass darkly. It's a mirror. So let me go on reading here for just a minute. Iridology's science of analyzing the delicate structures of the iris of the eye. The iris is that portion of the eye that carries the color, the form. The iris was the goddess of the rainbow in Greek mythology. There was a woman named Iris, and she was the goddess of the rainbow because the iris in the eye is what forms all of these beautiful colors that you're looking at all around you. It does all those things for you. It's like a prism. Prism, not a prison. And said she was also a messenger of the gods in Greek. Now, under magnification, the iris reveals itself to be a world of minute detail. Every little bitty thing from these little bitty words that I'm reading, from the words on that Kleenex box right there, to the words on this keyboard, to the eyelashes that you pick up when you're looking at it, it's picking up everything. The most minute thing. Sometimes if the sun shines just right, you're watching the dust float through the air, everything else. It's the eye, the iris of the eye, that's making all of those things happen. Now, minute detail. A land of many features. It forms all these things you're looking at. The iris represents a communication system. Now we're going to get into a prophet. The iris represents a communication system capable of handling an amazing quantity of information. It just feeds information in, and the brain, you know, it started out when the brain just begins to name things. It begins to call it the dust, the chair, the desk, the computer, the speaker, the finger, the hand, the arm, the eye. As it feeds into the brain, it begins to feed back a form of communication system. Otherwise, all of these forms that you have, you wouldn't have a language or anything. And the eye, connected directly with the brain, is doing every bit of this communication system. I'm trying to make you understand how important the eye is. You know, the prophet said, the lips were Pentecost, and he said, then we entered into that speaking in tongues and everything the way they did, and he said, then we entered into the eye, and he talked about the eye and what the eye would do and how the eye would pull everything together and how the eye would bring all the mysteries together and it would do all these things. And then at the end of his ministry, he said we were moving into the mind age. So everything that the eye collected moves into the mind age and begins to put form to it and create a new creation for us. This is what's happening. Now, the code reveals itself in character. The IRA represents a communication system capable of handling an amazing quantity of information. The code of the iris reveals itself in character of the individual iris fibers. Your eye actually has those fibers. Combination of various fiber characters make up an infinite entity. You begin to see things that are alive, moving and everything else around you, and it's your eye that's doing it. Presently, as in the past, many primary healthcare doctors have used this form of analysis along with other diagnostic techniques to facilitate a more complete understanding of their patients, of their health, of their care, of their needs, of their nutrition. You can see it all if you understand the eye. Now you understand why we move so far? The eye came, and the eye began to form all this information, began to form all this new language, new terms, new understanding. The eye is doing all of these things. Now, the iris is to be a microcomputer, read out of bodily functions and conditions. So the iris is a computer that keeps everything moving. When the eye dies, when the eye goes blind, it's people have all kinds of trouble with their bodily functions. Now he goes on here. He says, through the application of iridology, it is possible to observe normal and abnormal reflex signs. It does not compare all people together to create a normal, but rather compares all of the individual strengths and weaknesses in one set of the iris. A weak organ in a strong body produces characteristics that show up in the eye, yet it is still a weakness for that person. So things will show up in your eye, like that black dot. I'm telling you, from the time I was 23 years old, when the guy ran over my leg, my ankle, to this day, it's still, I have trouble. I have trouble in the cold. I have trouble walking sometimes. I have to work on it a lot of times. It goes into cramps. I have all kinds of trouble with it. I'm doing the best I can with it. But what's happened here is that formed a weakness in my body. It showed up in a dark spot in my left eye. And a true iridologist, a real seer, picked up that infirmity, that problem in infirmity, that problem in my eye, it picked it up. You want to know why we had the Lord sent the prophets that he sent? So that he could help us to understand the weaknesses of our body and help us understand the strengths of our body and help us understand when we're not eating the right things and to help us understand all the different new forms and languages that are coming forth and help us understand the move of the Spirit in general. That's what the eye is about. So we see this now. I want to go on just a little bit. The iris of the eye is the most complex tissue of the body meeting the outside world. It is an extension of the brain, connected directly to the brain. So when we entered the eye, the Malachi 4, the St. Luke 17:30, all of those great scriptures, when we entered the eye, what did we do? We began to enter into a world that was an extension of the brain. We began to enter into the mind of Christ, and we began to enter into the function and to the coordination and to the harmony of an eye and the brain working together. The three things that you have in your heart, the three things you have in your life, the eye, the brain, and the heart. These three things work together to give you everything that you need if you understand that in the physical. And it also works together in the spiritual to give you everything that you need. He goes on, the doctor, he says, the iris is connected to every organ and tissue of the body by way of the brain and the nervous system. The nerve fibers receive their impulses by way of their connections to the optic nerve, optic thalamic, and the spinal cord. They are formed embryologically. So it's just like an embryo. As you grow, it forms and produces all of these things. So we see, he says, in this way, nature has provided us with a miniature television screen showing the most remote portions of our body by way of the reflex and responses of the iris. We are discovering that the eye works two ways. Not only does it enable us to bring images of the outside world into us, it also shows images of what is within us and brings it out. So the eye came. You remember in the scripture, it said real clear in the book of Revelations, it said that he had eyes within, eyes before, and eyes behind, eyes within and eyes without. That's what we're reading right here. The natural eye has the same capability that it moves and it works in two ways. It takes things outside of you and pulls them in for you to be able to form. The fact that Sister Norod is sitting over there tonight listening, and Brother Larry is sitting over tonight listening, and Patty's up in the kitchen doing something. It forms all of these different things. The two dogs are running around. I see all of this going on. I see the second computer with all the scriptures on it. The eye is pulling all of that in, and then it is taking what I pull in, and what's within, it puts it back out. And you're hearing that through the voice of the Lord. All that I'm taking in, you're hearing it come back out now. So this, the eye, the iris, is the very function of reality in the brain and in the heart, or in the mind and in the heart. The mind and the heart have to work together. But you can't form, understand language, or anything else without the eye coming forth and showing forth. Now, the iris reveals an individual's strengths and weaknesses. And what has been done to the body through incorrect living habits, it also reveals the wonder of one who has lived a good life according to the laws of the universe. Iris will bring that out, and you'll have good health. You'll have all of these things about you, and you have lived in the natures. You know, that's why I say so many times, I keep saying, follow after natural selection. Follow after nature. Because natural selection will give you the most healthy body. Natural selection, you're not gonna come up with these diseases and all these kinds of different things. It's not gonna happen to you. But whenever we decide within ourselves that we're gonna go against natural selection, whether it's gender or whether it's food we eat, or whether it's the intimate life that we have, whatever we're doing, when you go against natural selection, you're going against the fiber of your body. You're going against the formation of the eye and the brain, and it is going to cause problems in your life, from diseases to heart attacks to heart diseases to lungs to everything. Let me just read that real quick to you. A chart of iridology. And it shows what's in the right eye and the left eye. I'll hurry here. And in these charts, the iridology controls the circulatory system, the digestive system, the respiratory system, the eliminative system. And this keeps going down the line, that everything that you are taking in through the eye is going to bring it back out in the body. Now, iridology and nutrition are symbolically associated. What you eat what you eat, what you see, all these things come through the iris, through the eye, into the brain, take formation, and come back out. You eat all that sugar, you're going to have a belly. You eat all that sugar, you're going to have diabetes. You eat all of those, you just keep going on and on. I'm pointing out sugar because the doctor told me, he said, you need to understand something. He said, sugar is the horse that cancer rides on. Get rid of your sugar, you'll get rid of your cancer. So that's what he told me. But anyway, nutrition means everything. That's why every once in a while you see me put out, eat the yellows, vegetables, they'll do this for you. Eat the red vegetables, they'll do this for you. And on and on and on. And I put that out because if you do these things, and you do it in the right manner, it's going to keep your body healthy. Iridology and nutrition are symbolically associated. All disease conditions have a nutritional aspect to them. When the iridologist sees weak tissue in your eye, he also is witnessing nutritional imbalance in your system. That's all I'm going to read from here right now. There's a whole lot more that we'll get into. But the eye is probably the single most important thing of your body in this fleshly life. Yes, the brain is there. Yes, the heart is there. Yes, they are both extremely important. But if the eye, which is connected directly to the brain and to the nervous system and to every organ in your body, if the eye wasn't there doing what it needs to do, you wouldn't be around very long. So we see this now. I want to go ahead and read this and watch. Luke 11:29. And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, "This is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given them but the sign of Jonas the prophet." So it's the sign of the resurrection. "For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. The Queen of the South shall rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh will rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here." So Jesus is showing them how that the Lord continues to move, and he moves in progression, and he comes on here and he says, no man, after he's told about how great Jonah is and how great the Queen of the South was and how great Solomon was and all the movements that they did. Now watch what Jesus says. He talks about a greater is here now. It was him. He says, no man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. So Jesus goes from prophets, queens, all these people that were in the earth doing all these great things, and then he comes right straight over to how the light goes forth. It's set on a candlestick, and it goes out for all the world to see. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when the eye is single, Jesus doesn't talk about two eyes. When the eye is single, the whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, wonder why he called that evil. Why didn't he say double? James said, a man is double-minded, can't receive anything. But anyway, Jesus says, the light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, the whole body also is full of light. But when the eye is evil, thy body is also full of darkness. Notice this one thing. He didn't say if the eyes. is single. He didn't say if the eye is evil. He said when. Because he knew that it was going to manifest both ways. So when the eye is single, you're catching revelation and understanding. And when the eye is evil, your body's going to get into things you don't know so much about and you don't understand so much about. And you're trying to form that light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when the eye is single, the whole body also is full of light. But when the eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. How can that be? The light that is within thee be not darkness. What Jesus is saying is, when you enter the darkness, don't think that it's over, and don't think that you're lost, and don't think that you have no understanding. You entered there to get an understanding. And be sure that you take that darkness and turn it into light. Take that experience and make it a blessing for you. Take that time where it felt like you didn't know what was going to happen next. Take that and make it a great blessing for you. And stand there and learn everything you can do. Everything that you can possibly pick up. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body, therefore, be full of light. Talk about the wholeness of the body now. You remember the iris is connected to every organ in the body, every system in the body. If the whole body be full of light, or if the eye be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. So when you enter those dark spots, know that it is just a part of the wholeness, and keep moving in it. Now, we know that Jesus was speaking spiritual. He wasn't talking about the eyes, because he kept saying single eye, single eye, single eye. He's talking about the pineal gland in your body. You have a third eye, is what most of the spiritualists call it. I call it the first eye. That's the eye. That's where everything opens up. That's where everything becomes real to you. That's where spirituality opens up. You begin to get an understanding of who you are. We know that Jesus was speaking of his spiritual eye. He didn't say if the eye is single or if the eye is evil. He said when your eye is single and when your eye is evil. You have both single and evil in you. When it's one way, go with that light. And when it's the other way, and you're in darkness, learn everything you can and make that light shine to where you overtake that darkness and make it known. Notice also he was talking about the eye, not a set of eyes. We have an eye spiritually that is the pineal gland that some call the third eye. Truly, it's not a third eye, but the eye of understanding. Paul said, open to us the eye of our understanding. Here he says, truly it's not a third eye, but the eye of the understanding. Jacob knew this. When the angels were ascending and descending up and down the ladder, that's me and you, descending into the earth, ascending, understanding this and understanding that, and you keep ascending. That's me and you, the angels going up and down. And Jacob woke up and said, I know this is the place of the Lord. And he said, I'm going to call it Peniel, which was the pineal gland. I'm sure he didn't know a whole lot about the pineal gland then, but that's what he said. Now, talking about the eye, I know everyone says, Brother Parnell, the scripture says that when Jesus comes again, you're trying to say he come already, when Jesus comes again, every eye shall behold him. And I said, absolutely the truth. Let me read it to you. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye, single, every eye shall see him. He didn't say all eyes. He said every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. So let me tell you this. Every time a prophet came into the earth, and the Spirit moved in that prophet, the prophet caught the revelation for his day and brought it out to the people. And the eye, the prophet, the seer, brought it out, and the people got an understanding of what the Lord wanted in their age. The eye is a seer. I could read it like this. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every prophet or every seer shall see him. It's just that simple. He's not talking about all of us in the whole wide world of the earth. One man's going to come floating down out of the sky, and we're all going to see him. Every eye shall see him. It's not what it's talking about. It's the eye. It's a prophet. It's a seer. Now you say, okay, Brother Parnell, who is that man? I told you, get away from that. Get away from that. I'll tell you who that man is here in just a minute. Notice it says, every eye will see him. Jesus is speaking when John and with John and gives him his understanding that every eye will see him. The eye is the body. The eye is to the body a prophet, a seer. Every prophet caught the word coming for the age that they were in. Zechariah caught the word and built Israel back. Isaiah caught the word. You could go right on down the line. Jeremiah caught the word. Every time the eye, the prophet, come on the scene, they caught the word for the hour. That's what this thing is about. But we want to think of it like it's all of our eyes shall see him. Well, I'll bring that to you here in just a second. Let's look at what he says in Corinthians. Paul says, but some men will say, listen very closely. Some men will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Well, I just went through a half an hour of how the dead get raised up. You were in total darkness. And as the prophets begin to feed us revelation and understanding, when you came out of your mother's womb, your eye began to collect all of this revelation, and it formed all of these things in your mind, and it began to produce them back out. And how does the body get raised up? Exactly like that. The eye catches the revelation and raises the body up. Now, raises it up in understanding. And somebody say, well, we're not in the resurrection yet. Well, you're walking, standing up, aren't you? If you're not in the resurrection, you're 6 foot under. But I'm in a resurrection. I'm walking around. I'm alive. Now let's read this. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in I'm sorry, let me back up. Some men will say, how are the dead raised? And with what body do they come? Thou fool. This is Paul talking to the Corinthians. You're foolish. That which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not the body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or some other grain, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. So the ground, the earth itself, is here, and you are the seed. Now, how many knows that the scripture, the prophet, everybody that's got any understanding about them, they refer to the seed. It's the theophany. It's the seed form of who you are. It's the word of God. Theophany means logos, the word. That seed got planted into the ground. The ground being your body that you're wearing right now. You're walking around. However tall you are, however old you are, however young you are, the seed got planted in you. You came through the womb, and you came out. Now, you came out. Now, Paul says, look, let me explain something to you. That thou sowest is not the body that shall be, but it's bare grain. So when that theophany got sowed into the dirt, which you're wearing, it was bare grain. It didn't have any attributes that it could produce within itself. It knew the knowledge of joy, long-suffering, peace, kindness, goodness, faith. It knew the knowledge of evil and good, and it had all that knowledge, but it didn't have one lick of experience. It got sowed into the earth as a bare grain. The theophany sowed into the body as a bare grain. And then he goes on and he says that, thou fool, if it's not quickened, it can't come forth. It has to die to be quickened. Now, you would say to yourself, that's right, you know, the dead bodies laying out here in the graveyard, they're all going to be quickened one day and raised up. Well, if I'm reading Paul right, he's not talking about the dead body in any grave anywhere. He's talking about the seed that was planted in your body. And that seed is the theophany. And he said that it has to be quickened. It has to die and then be quickened to come forth. You say, well, that's what I'm waiting on, is the quickening. Haven't you ever read Romans 8? Where Paul said, us has he quickened? We've already been quickened. Have you ever read It Is the Rising of the Sun? When Brother Branham said, you've already been quickened. He said, look, let me say this. What a resurrection out of dead denominationalism. He said, you've been quickened. Your body has been resurrected. You say, well, you say, I don't know about that. He said, your body changed, didn't it? You stopped going to places you used to go. You stopped thinking the way you used to think. You stopped walking the way you used to walk. You become excited over the things you used to hate. And you walk away from the things you used to be excited over. Your body was quickened. The theophany was quickened to come to the age of what it is. And Paul is laying that out here. And he says, look, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. The theophany gets put into a little baby boy. And then it begins to come forth, and the iridology, the iris, it begins to take in 22 collected nerves, just piling it in, understanding left and right, taking on all of everything that's happening to you. Every day you are quickened 100,000,000 times. Every little piece of fiber you see, every little flower that grows, every time you smell it, every taste of water, it's a quickening. It wouldn't happen if it wasn't quickened. And that's what Paul is saying. Now, he says, the Lord gives it a body as it pleases him. To every seed his own body. My body come through 70 years. Here real soon, I'll be 70 years old. Came up through Opal and Lehman Parnell. It came up through the cornfields of Indiana. It came over into Ohio. And it's went around the world several times. Been on 6 of the 7 continents. I've done almost everything there is to do in this body. I've wore it out. And I'm thinking to myself, that's my body. Now don't start saying, I wish my body was like Don's body. I wish I could have went and done all that stuff. Every man is quickened to his own body. If you're supposed to be a farmer, then you are in the will of God and you're being quickened. If you're supposed to be a horseman, a farmer, a teacher, a mother, whatever it is, that is your quickening. Take a hold of it and enjoy it, and enjoy it with all of your heart, and form your own body. And be proud of it. Be happy with it. Victimhood is the worst thing you can have in your life. Oh, I didn't get to do this. I didn't get to do that. If I never, ever am able to travel one more place in this world, I am so satisfied with what I have done, so happy with the things that I have done, to watch so many hundreds of thousands and even millions of people come to something brand new in their lives, and I'm seeing it do the same thing to them that it did to me. Wakes me up, makes me want more and understand more. So Paul's seen this. Now, he says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. Remember, seed, theophany, into a dirt body, dies and is quickened and comes out. Not the body. It's not the dirt around the seed. It's what was in there. The seed itself, the word of God, the theophany. That's what comes out. And he says, God gives it a body as it pleased him. Then he comes on down in the 42nd verse and says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. Do you understand that? You were the word of God before you came here. And that word of God, so also is the resurrection. This is how you get your resurrection. You're sown into corruption. What corruption? This right here, this earth. You're sown into that corruption. And then Paul says, it is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. As you raise up and catch the understanding of who you are, that's the resurrection of your body. Your body's changing. It's taking on more. It's understanding more. It's walking a greater life. It's praying. It's meditating. It's praying for people that are sick. They're being healed. Your body's doing something it could have never done before, except that what was sown into that corruptible body begins to raise it into an incorruptible body. And it's going on right here. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. You're sown, you come into the earth, you're walking on all fours, your hands and your knees, you're crawling around everywhere. You can't even change yourself. You can't even put a coat on. You can't do anything. You are sown in weakness. You're crawling around everywhere. You can't button anything up. You can't do anything. You can't even change your own diaper. You can't do anything. You can't feed yourself. On and on and on. You're sown in total weakness. And then Paul says that you're sown in dishonor. You're raised in glory. You're sown in weakness. You're raised in power. Look at you now. It's nothing to put a coat on. It's nothing to take care of yourself. It's nothing to sit down and eat a meal 2-3 times a day. It's nothing to talk the language. It's nothing. It's just so easy now. But back then, when you were sown into that dishonor, when you were sown into to this body, this dirt, it was very hard. But you kept raising it and raising it, and you're doing the same thing in the spiritual realm. You're raising yourself out of denomination, raising yourself out of all of these things that are laying out here that cause you issues. You're raising yourself out of your sicknesses. You're raising yourself out of all these things. It is sown a natural body. The theophany, listen to me, the theophany was the natural body. It's nature. It's the seed. You were sown a natural body, went right in. Listen to what he says. You're sown. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. You've heard my teaching. You know my understanding on that. We were theophany, bare grain. We came into the earth, took on a carnal mind, not a different mind. We just took on a fleshly mind, and that we progressed from theophany to carnal. And then you take those two and you put them together, theophany and carnal, and you know what you do? You get all the experiences that you need to make that theophany and that carnal being into a spiritual being. It's sown a natural body. It's raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. You say, oh, I can't wait to get back to my theophany. Not me. Not me. I'm so happy with my spiritual body. I'm so happy with my understanding. I'm so happy with everything that I have that I'm not worried one bit about going back to something that I already had. I have progressed way beyond that. And I am not living as a theophany. I am not living as a carnal man. I took the two. I put them together. I grew up in life. I caught the revelation for my day. And now I am a spiritual body, a spiritual man. That's how these things come. There is a natural and there is a spiritual. As it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The second man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. So we first came into the body, a seed planted into the body to become a living soul. And then we got quickened. You are the Lord from heaven. You were first in a natural body, and then you got sown into the earth, and you got raised up a spiritual body. It is exactly who you are. You are the Lord from heaven walking right now. You say, I don't know about that. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The second Adam was a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that which was not first, that Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthly. The man that got buried into the seed, into the ground, that seed, that first man was earthy. Now listen, the second man, when the quickening comes, the second man is the Lord from heaven. Have you been quickened? Do you really believe you've been quickened? Do you really believe that you have come up into a spiritual being? That you're not worried about going back to a theophany? You don't have to go back there. What you are enjoying is a spiritual body that is so far beyond that. And you say, well, what about those people that were on the other side? Weren't they in theophanies? They had so much more knowledge than a theophany. They said to Brother Branham, we can't eat and we can't drink here. We got to come back down there in order to do that. They had an understanding of eating and drinking, and they were desiring to get back and to live right here where you and I are living. We ain't going there, wherever there is, whatever you think there is. We're here. This is our home. This is our life. This is our place. The future home. Go read it. The first man is of the earth, earthly. Second man, the Lord from heaven. As is the earthly, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now listen to Paul real close here. Now this I say, brethren, 15th chapter, Corinthians, 50th verse. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You know, that's all I hear from people. Oh, flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of God. We're all going to die. We're going to go back to the grave. And then the Holy Spirit's going to get us out of the grave. And then we can inherit this and we can do that. I hear all kinds of that stuff. But let's listen to what Paul says. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. We know that. But behold, I show you a mystery. I'm going to show you a mystery that says you can. Why would he say, behold, I show you a mystery? He starts out by saying flesh and blood can't inherit it. We know that according to the Old Testament. You can't enter the kingdom of God and inherit it. But now here we are after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. After all these things happened, he said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. What? He's saying that flesh and blood is going to be changed. It's going to inherit. It's going to put on things. Behold, I show you this mystery, and we'll all be changed in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye, when the eye twinkles, Israel got changed every time. When the eye twinkled, Babylon fell. When the eye twinkled, Rome fell. When the eye twinkled, you can go on and on and on. When the prophets come on the scene and the light struck the eye or struck the prophet, it was an understanding and it changed the whole world. I remember 2004 when one of the first visitations that I had, that's exactly what it said to me. The angel Lord said to me, your message has changed the landscape of the world forevermore. We'll never go back. And that's what he said to me. And I see it doing it all over the world. In a moment, in the twinkling eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. So Paul is showing two changes here that's taking place. One of them was at the end of the church ages, the last trump. There's seven trumpets. Paul, Irenaeus, Martin, Columba, Luther, Wesley, Branham. And we see all of those. And at the last trump, when that eye twinkles, things are going to happen. When that sounds, there's going to be raised incorruptible. We're all going to be changed. This corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So there's a time, a moment. You know what a moment is? You say, yeah, that's 1 second. Bang. One, two. No. Paul didn't have a watch. He wasn't looking at some second hand on his. When he said a moment, go look it up. It means a space of time. We are going to be changed in a space of time. The opening of the seals till now has been a space of time where we have been changing drastically all the way through. You say, yeah, but it says that the twinkling of an eye. Okay, have you heard anything I said? The eye is a prophet. Now, after the last trump, when he sounds, after William gets finished, after William is gone, after the seventh angel messenger raptures the church, then there's going to be a change, and this change will be incorruptible, and this change that comes when the corruptible shall have put on incorruption, when we see this happening, the twinkling of an eye is speaking of another age. It's speaking of another time. We were changed in a moment, and the prophet, you know what the eye did? The eye came. He identified all the weaknesses. He identified everything. He identified those Trinitarian doctrines. He identified all these things about there's no healing. He identified all these things coming down through the church about all the baptisms and everything else. He identified all the weaknesses of the body, which the iris is supposed to do. And then he brought out all the mysteries of the body, pulled all that information in, and come out with the exposition of the seven church ages, the opening of the seven seals, Christ is the mystery of God revealed, souls in prison. He kept pouring it out. After he gathered all that information, the iris went into the brain, and the brain sent the information back with form and with understanding and sent it right back into our day, and we changed through the twinkling of an eye. Now you say, yes, Brother Parnell, we changed as soon as we heard you. That's good. I'll accept that. I believe that. As soon as we heard you. But it's not me. You have the I in you. I have the I in me. And when that I, when it catches and hears things, it changes it from corruptible, from old message, to incorruptible or new message. The I is in every one of you, and now you really can say, when the Lord comes, every eye shall behold him, because all of us are prophets. All of us have the prophetic eye laying right in us. All of us have the pineal gland. All of us are ascending and descending up and down the ladder. All of us have all these things in us. All of us were a seed put into a corruptible body. And all of us were changed together at the opening of those seals and brought us out. And now we are taking the corruption of the earth and we're changing it to incorruption. That's what's happening in us now. We're taking all of this corruption, all of this false word, all these rules and regulations and lies and dogmas and creeds, all of these denominations, we're taking all of that and we're zeroing it out. We're saying it has nothing to do with us. We are the prophet. We are the eye. We are all the eye in this age. And when we are all the eye, we all see where we are. We all have an understanding. You don't need me to give you an understanding. We just need to fellowship and love one another. And your understanding will open up inside you as you go along, just like it did me. Because this is an age where William Branham was right. And Billy Graham was right when they said it's not going to be the same. Go read the first seal, page 120 through 123. Brother Branham said, at the seventh angel, everything changes and it will never be the same. Billy Graham tells Glenn Beck, when I'm gone, it'll never be the same. The Lord is not going to raise up men like this anymore and set them on pedestals. Everyone is going to catch the revelation for themselves. That's when it's real. That's when it's real, when you catch it for yourself. When everything that you heard and everything that you see begins to feed you with information of the light of the age, the understanding. You begin to pull out of your darkness. You begin to pull out of your denomination. You begin to pull out of all of these different things that are laying out here. You begin to pull out of all this rules and regulations. And you stop worrying about the COD book. And you stop worrying about all these things. You know, Brother Branham never put no COD book together. A bunch of men got together and did that afterwards and tried to rule their congregations. I know that's a little tough, and I try to stay off of that a little bit, but I'm just telling you, what you are watching is the corruptible is crumbling. It is crumbling. All those corruptible doctrines, all those corruptible things, all that corruptible way of life, all those rules and regulations and creeds and everything else, it's dissolving. It's going away. We are in a brand new age, in a brand new time, and the eye has twinkled. And the twinkle in the eye that I'm talking about is your eye. It's your eye. Joshua marched them 7 days around. And on the seventh day, he said, march seven times around. And then what did he say? Shout. What brought the walls down? When all of the people took all of that information that Joshua gave them in and shouted with everything that was in them, the walls came down. That's this age. That's right now. Every wall is coming down. We are a city without walls. We are free. Free to go anywhere, free to do anything, free to understand everything, and free from all of this man worship and all these things. And I don't have a problem with admiring men when they're standing, and women when they're standing in the Word of God. When they're and what I mean by Word of God is they have an understanding for themselves. That's the greatest blessing that there is. Understanding it for yourself. The eye has twinkled. And it wasn't out there somewhere. It was in you. Your eye twinkled. You caught this because you have an eye. Yes, the Lord uses people. He uses their voices. He uses man. He uses women. He uses animals. He uses everything. But your eye caught it. Otherwise, it would have just been another voice, another day, another time. Your eye. Focus on yourself. Focus on your understanding. Focus on not worrying about one thing. Being totally free. And just open yourself up to the Spirit, to the understanding for this day and this age. Love bless you. Love you with all my heart. I hope it was a great blessing. We will come back. I will probably try and do it once a week, and I'll put it out a little earlier than I did this time. I just wasn't sure what to do, but I hope this is a help. It's all I want to do. I'm not sitting here to try to cause trouble in any churches, but I'm not going to hold my revelation behind my teeth either. You know, a couple of the brothers were asking me, said, why don't you come to our church? And why don't you come and visit us? And why don't you just make it your home church? We're in the message. You would love it. You'd love the pastor. Finally, I said, look, brethren, my name is out there. And it's out there all over the world. And if I go into a church, I am going to, not because I want to, but it's my understanding. It's going to stir. It's going to cause issues. It's going to cause trouble for the pastor. It's going to cause trouble for the people because some of the people are going to understand it. And then they're going to start raising up and saying, pastor, why aren't you teaching? I don't want to put anybody through that. I have a place right here. You can come and listen. I advertise it. I put it out. And you can catch an understanding. And when you walk away, that eye in you, you let it talk to you, and it'll open you up. It'll open you up, and you won't have to worry about who says what. You won't have to bow to any man. You'll begin to serve and walk in Christ Jesus. Love you with all my heart. Lord Jesus, we come to you this evening. We thank you for your love, your grace, for everything that you have done for us. All of these people that are out there listening, we thank you for them. We thank you for them, their understanding. We thank you that they are stepping up. We thank you that they are reaching out and saying, hey, this is a different age. This is a different time. We thank you for that. And Spirit, that's in us, come forth, dwell, bring forth the revelation, bring forth everything in us out. Let it be exactly like the iris. Pull all the information in, form it, and then put it back out, and let the people see what the revelation of Jesus Christ, what the revelation is for this day. In your precious name, we ask these things. Amen. Love bless you.